Hello and welcome to the Pig and Whistle Tales from Azeroth. As always, here at the Pig and Whistle Inn in Stormwind, I go through a variety of subjects with regards to World of Warcraft. So grab a bottle or a pint, sit back and enjoy. Today we're going to be going over, I don't really know the name of it, but essentially how does it stack up is kind of what I wanted to go with, but I don't think it'll be the best way to go about it title-wise. But how does Dragonfly compare to previous expansions, essentially? That's probably the title, something along them lines. You get the idea of it. So how does it stack up? We're going to be looking at sort of the end game side, questing, you know, everything in between, essentially. Obviously, we have the weekly news. This is the last week that there is less weekly news, if that makes sense. As next week, we obviously have the start of the Mythic Plus season, as well as arenas and world events, world bonus events are coming back into the game on the week starting the 14th for EU, 13th for NA. I'm pretty sure it's the 13th because it's Tuesday resets for NA. So, yeah, apologies if there's a bit less weekly news this week, but it will be rectified next week. So, no world events this week, no world bonus events. The brawl for this week is Deep Six. This is a 6v6 battleground. It can be Temple of Khotmogu, Warsong Gulch, or I believe that there's another one. My brain's eluding me. Might be Arathi Basin, might be something like that. Twin Peaks? Yeah, probably Twin Peaks. But 6v6, very fast-paced. Everything that you do in the battleground matters. If you've got one person slacking, it's very detrimental. And yeah, I've had a lot of people slacking or just undergeared. Excuse me. Or just undergeared when I've been doing my Deep Six battlegrounds, which is a bit of a shame. But it is what it is. It's just playing it for fun. Battlegrounds are only to get you honor. I'm fully geared and essentially I'm just stacking honor. So I wanted to test out my class and obviously just get a bit more into it before the actual arena season starts, essentially. So the weekly spell that we're going to be looking at the history of is Typhoon. I'm pretty sure I've not done this before. I've got a list somewhere in my notebook, but I couldn't find the list. It's like it's almost disappeared. So I'm going to have a very thorough look through that and add it to the list that I've got. But yeah, Typhoon. It was introduced in Wrath. It has three changes in Wrath of the Lich King, starting in 2009 and going up to 2010, a year later. So it now causes a 3-second daze, which is very strong, a knockback and a 3-second daze. The next patch was that the day's duration has been increased from 3 seconds to 6 seconds. And knockback distance increased to 20 yards. Oh, Jesus! Is this really how good Typhoon is? Oh my days. And then the last patch in Wrath of the Lich King was the mana cost has been reduced to 25%, down from 32%. It's not too bad. It had one change in Cataclysm. The mana cost has been reduced by 50%, very straightforward. Couple changes in Missa Pandaria, now available to all specializations as a talent, no longer deals damage, and can be used in any shapeshift form. This is the kind of iteration that we have in current World of Warcraft. We also had in Missa Pandaria, now has a 30-second cooldown instead of 20 seconds. This is baseline as it is today. One change in Warlords of Draenor, it has a 15-yard range other than 30 yards. 30 yards was kind of crazy, I'm not going to lie, so 15 yards does make it a bit more understandable. And one change in Legion, it was now available at level 60, was 45. Legion was level 120, was max level, so you get it sort of halfway through your leveling process. Speaking of, what was Legion leveling? They didn't scale anything until Battle for Azeroth, right? Can't remember. I'm trying to go through it in my head. Cataclysm was 85. Missa Pandaria was 90. What was the next one? Warlords of Draenor was 100. Legion was 110. Okay. Battle for Azeroth was 120, which is, by the way, ludicrous. It was getting ludicrous. And then Shadowlands was, yeah, back down to 60, and now we're at 70 again. God, level 110. Okay, so it was just over halfway through your leveling process that you got Typhoon. That's crazy. It's crazy that it's level 110. We even went up to 120 in Battle for Azeroth. That was questionable decision, but I suppose the levels don't matter as long as the scaling is okay and somewhat decent. But I'm getting off topic. So where do we start with like how it stacks up to sort of the other expansions? Now, I'm going to be looking at mainly the most recent couple, back towards Legion. Now, so that includes Shadowlands, Battle for Azeroth, and Legion, because these three expansions, two of them have been deemed not up to up to the standard that we would expect an expansion to be, that being Shadowlands and Battle for Azeroth. Legion was one of the better expansions and the more enjoyable. So we're going to be seeing and comparing why that possibly is the case, essentially. So, endgame. We're going to look at endgame first. It kind of makes sense for us to do the questing first, but I've already started. So, endgame is... when you hit 70, there was a couple of things that you had to do. In Legion, it was world quests when they were first introduced, and essentially this meant that you grinded your artifact power. Now, artifact power, or AP, has been in the game since Legion, and it has been in a few different forms, through artifact power, through Azerite, and through, or Azerite power, as people refer to it as, and anima power, or yeah, AP again. Essentially, the anima wasn't necessarily massive in terms of your player character scaling, but it's AP, so we're classing it here. Legion was obviously the first to introduce the world quest system, as well as this power progression, this progression system that you ultimately needed to do in order to upgrade your character. If you didn't and you slacked behind, then essentially your character is just worse and less powerful than everyone else's. Now, in Legion, because it was the first expansion that introduced it, everyone was very much, oh my god, I've got this amazing weapon. I've got the Scythe of Alun. I've got the Fangs of Ashimain. I've got the Claws of Ursoc. I've got the, like, literal Ashbringer. Like, I've got Alunith. I've got Fellow Malorn. All of these have massive lore, like, backgrounds to them. All of these weapons, well, most of them, have, like, a shit ton of lore behind them all. And they, I couldn't do them any justice going over, like, one of them. But the Ashbringer one is the one that you would want to look into if you wanted to learn about its lore, because it's got a shit ton of lore. It's got, like, an hour's worth of an episode of lore. It's absolutely crazy. A little bit off topic again. But, yeah, it was the first expansion that introduced this grind. And essentially it gave people something to look forward to. It's like, oh, my God, I've got to do this. I've really got to do this. And it felt good leveling up this secondary character or this secondary thing. Because once you're done with your leveling process, you didn't gain any more levels on your character, did you? So it was kind of a substitute for that. It's instead of leveling your character, you're leveling your weapon, which is fine. And it was good fun. It was amazing. But it did the inflation, obviously, here. And those who couldn't keep up ultimately fell behind, and they had to put in catch-up mechanics and stuff like that. And you can kind of forgive them, because it was obviously the first iteration of this the first iteration of this power grind. So you can give them a bit of leeway, and it's like, oh, okay, well, if they do this for a future expansion, they'll obviously look into giving people a way to catch up immediately, or you don't necessarily have to do it immediately as well, so that there's no pressure on you, you know, that kind of thing. But what also lent its sort of joy to the artifact weapons was how unique they were and how lore-rich they were. They were something that was established in WoW lore or ages, for ages and ages and ages. Whereas if you look at Battle for Azeroth and Shadowlands, Battle for Azeroth has a necklace that was just plucked out of the ground by a diamond dwarf, essentially. And it's like, oh, here you go. You have a new necklace. And it's like, oh, great. I'm so glad that I get to see this necklace on my character. No, no, you don't. You just got a new necklace. That's it. Like, at least the weapons you got to see when you, like, sheathed them. Like, Ashbringer on your back. You know, so cool. So cool. Cipher of a Loon. I use that transmog to this day because of how cool it looks. Like, Claws of Ursoc. You have the Windrunner bow for hunters. You have so many cool-looking weapons. And, yeah, it just went to, oh, you've got a necklace that you can't see. It's just a stat stick, essentially. It's a stat necklace. Like, oh, great, I'm so glad to level this up. Not to mention you had to, you know, get the right Azerite pieces, and if you were unlucky, then you'd have to do that again, and there was an element of RNG involved and stuff like that. Shadowlands, Anima was so tough to come by, like, in the first couple months of the game. A lot of people were you'd have to grind all of the world quests consistently to get stuff at a decent rate, and there was no way to really catch up. And yeah, you were locked to your one covenant, weren't you? So essentially, switching covenants would be a massive grind, and it would be awful to do. But endgame wise, all of these three expansions had artifact power, or AP, as some form of progressing your character. Now, I say progressing your character, and you're always progressing your character with gear, but in other means other than gear, essentially. Dragonflight doesn't have that. It has nothing of the sort. There are obviously reputations that you can grind, which some might have one or two better pieces of gear, but it's very little in terms of upgrade, and it's usually not worth the grind. The only thing that you... No, wait, I'm trying to think. There's nothing that you have to do. Unless you want to do the campaign, you have to grind the Valdrakken Accord Rep, or, yeah, the Accord Rep, and it unlocks, like, right at the end, after you've done the entire campaign in Azure Span, and a bit in the, I'm still learning the place names. No, it is Valdrakken. No, it isn't. Yeah, Valdrakken. Screw it. I'm going to call it Valdrakken. You need to get to Renown 12 to unlock the next part of the quest chain, and that goes into more of the, oh, this leads into the next raid kind of thing. It's not as important, but it's still good to get there. But yeah, there is no power gain besides gearing your character, which oddly makes you feel free. Very, very free. So every time that I dinged max level, I was always, oh my god, okay, I've got my artifact weapon. I need to do every single world quest to get artifact power. I need to up my artifact weapon in terms of its skills, what damage it does and stuff like that. I need to go out and gear my character now as well, doing battlegrounds. Even in Legion, that was awful because you just had to get RNG through battlegrounds. It just didn't, you couldn't buy pieces, I'm pretty sure. You had to actually just get it through battlegrounds or arenas itself. And I did this for three expansions. It's like, oh, okay, I need to go out and farm Azerite. I need to go out and farm Anima. I need to go and farm my renown now in Shadowlands, because otherwise my character is just shitter than everyone else's. But in Dragonflight, it's, oh, yeah, I'm lost, but in a good way, in a really good way, because it's one of them things where you're going 1,000 miles an hour at the end of your leveling journey in other expansions, and then this one, it's just suddenly you've slammed on the brakes and done an emergency stop, and it's like, oh, I'm not in a rush to do anything. I can do whatever I want. Now, There obviously is Arena Season and Mythic Season just around the corner, and I'm kind of prepping my characters for that. But I've prepped two of my characters, and two of the characters that I want to play, these are the two that I want to play in an arena. So I'm done with gearing, and I can play about with what I want. And thing is, the gearing wasn't even tough. The gearing took a couple hours maximum. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous. A couple hours for Alliance, I will say that. I think it's like 2 days for Horde. It's pretty bad on Horde side, unfortunately. They're just not winning any battlegrounds, so the lack of honor is a lot tougher to come by, we'll say that. But yeah, you feel oddly free, and you can choose to do some world quests. You can choose to do some community, like, events, like the cooking one for the Tuskars. You can do the siege on Dragonhide Keep. You can, did I say reps already? You can farm reputations, such as the Rathion and Sebelian one, or the Consortium. All of these choices do not impact your player power at all. They are all purely for cosmetic-based reasons or for profession reasons. Now, this is the biggest win that Dragonflight has ever had over any of the other expansions, because everyone loves cosmetics. You get to decide which ones you go after. You're not forced to go into anything. You're absolutely, even with the Sebelian and the Rathium stuff, the rewards that you get, if you get one to rank 6 and one to rank 2, they still offer basically the same rewards, maybe apart from one or two items, but you're not missing out on much. So therefore, you can choose what you want to do. I go around and just pick herbs and mining and do some professions. I'm learning the professions. I'm learning the specializations, what I want to do, what I want to make. I'm figuring out the crafting orders, which again, I think is a great idea. But I think the specializations and make it very tough for some people to get work, because not a lot of people are looking off or looking out for this sort of thing, that like this very specific item. A lot of people are very much generalizing in like, oh, I just want something that's very good for my profession. So, or like, I need gear from a jewel crafter, but this jewel crafter has gone into like a specific gem, and it's like, oh, well, tough luck, that kind of thing. I think,
let's take a quick break.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Maybe do a few less specialisations for certain what they call professions. I was saying the name constantly and forgot it. Maybe do a few less specializations, but still keep the very specific ones, like a very rare gem or something, like can be on its own. But gearing, you know, you can go into all gear, like rings, trinkets, and like feet, trousers, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, maybe tone it down a bit. But I think if you give the expansion a bit longer, then a lot more people will be figuring out the crafting orders and how it works and what you do, and everyone will understand what they actually want. And because obviously it's all new still, the professions, and that is something else. The professions are very good from what I've seen so far, compared to what we've had in the past, where it hasn't been touched since, yeah, probably Classic. It's been a massive breath of fresh air, and it has been a complete W as well. So, you obviously have no pressure in endgame. Let's talk about the questing going through. The questing going through your leveling experience, essentially, is very good. Very, very good. It's one of the better questing experiences I've had in World of Warcraft. It's completely different to that of Classic. Obviously, Classic is a bit more slower paced. You're exploring a bit more, but not exploring a bit more, but you're understanding the quest, you're doing everything. Whereas in Dragonflight, they're not expecting you to do every quest. Every quest or every side quest doesn't need to be done if you want to hit max level. You essentially just need to do the main storyline and you will hit level 70 by the end of the quest line, the campaign, essentially. The campaign, I won't spoil anything, but really good. Really good, really snappy. And that's purely because they just want you to get through the quest line and to experience all of the other quests that they've put into the game, because there's a lot of other quests in the game that are very, very good. I'll give you one, for example, that is a side quest after you've done the main campaign. You go back to the centaurs. Now, this isn't a breadcrumb quest or anything. You just go back to the centaurs, their little camp, and there's a quest. Giant dog, a Bakar, I think it's called Bakur, they're called. There's a giant dog called Taven, the giant dog, and he's got a handler, and this handler sends him out to find his purpose. She calls him a bit of a clumsy dog and stuff like that. He's a bit clumsy, but we send him out on a purpose. He looks to see if he can hunt, but he whimpers at anything, so he's a bit afraid of attacking, or he doesn't want to hurt anything. Okay, that's fine. Maybe he can, you know, herd sheep. No, he just wants to play with the sheep. He doesn't know how to herd them. Okay, that's fine. And then you get an emergency. You go out and help the emergency, and he's forced to stay there at the sheep to be looked after. And you try and move something, and it's the first time that your character can't do anything. You can't pick up these massive chunks of wood. And the little Taven, the little Baku, comes along and helps you out, starts dragging the hefty piles of wood and drags the people to safety, the centaurs to safety. And he found his purpose. He's like a little medic dog, and you get a toy for it. And it's honestly one of the sweetest quests I've ever seen, and it's absolutely amazing. It is a quality quest, one of the best I've ever seen, in my opinion. But it's like, they want you to do the main campaign so that you can just be gone with that. You can unlock your world quests, and then you're free to do what you want. You can go out and explore these sort of side quests that you never got to see. Yeah, it's absolutely great. Honestly, it's a massive W, the quest line, the main campaign. It's very snappy. It introduces characters very well. It gives them a lot of feel moments as well. And it gives a real sort of urgency of the impending danger that is happening and what is going to happen in the first raid against this first big bad of the expansion, essentially. So questing while leveling is absolutely amazing. I'd recommend just going straight through the campaign and then doing side quests afterwards to really get a feel for the zones. I'm actually going to do another side quest, because that some of them have been absolutely 10 out of 10. You have the dog quest, and then there's one in the Waking Shore. This one seems very simple. It's one of the earlier ones. It's a dwarf just sitting. You're up in this tall sort of life pools area where the eggs are kept and sort of safeguarded and stuff. And there's just this dwarf sitting on the edge. You talk to him, and the quest is just like, take a rest or stay for a while. And you just talk to him, and you can sit there and sit with him. And he just tells you stories. He tells you a story, a literal story. It takes like 5 minutes to go through all of the dialogue. 5 minutes for me, because I'm slow at reading. But yeah, he tells you a lovely story. And it's actually quite heartbreaking, bless. But It's so sweet, and these sort of very simple quests are often overlooked by a lot of players, because you're kind of just spamming through the quests to get a level, essentially, to get a level up. It's not like you're reading them or taking the time for them or appreciating how good they actually are. And so far, I found two which are incredible. I probably found more, but honestly, my brain is just... all I can think about is them two quests right now that popped into my head. But there are loads of great quests in Dragonflight, the side quests anyway. So don't overlook them. They are very good. The questing experience as a whole in Dragonflight is very good. Compared to, say, like Shadowlands, where you do the main story and yet you've got 75% of the map still hidden, and you go out there and it'll be like, oh, I need deer antlers to see if this place is rotting. And it's like, well, yeah, of course it's rotting. Like, there's a diseased deer over there that's like got nothing on it. It's one of them things. It's, I don't know, the quests stick with you here. I can't remember a single side quest in Shadowlands. I'm trying to think. No, I really can't. I can't think of a single side quest in Shadowlands that stuck out to me. There was one in Legion, which wasn't necessarily a side quest. It was kind of a side quest, but that was the Found Memento Compass from Varian. That was the in 7.2 that was introduced, and it basically gave Anduin his cinematic. That was technically a side quest because there was no campaign anymore. But yeah, each have had their own like sort of moments. But Dragonflight, for me at the moment, has had most of them moments, like, or more moments than the past two expansions combined, I would say. Shadowlands and BFA, definitely. BFA, I don't remember wanting to do any of the quests. The side quests, I was kind of just like, oh, that's painful. But in Dragonflight, I've actively gone out and just done quests, done questing, and I'm passively getting reputation for it as well. Quite a lot of reputation as well. So it's worth it. You always feel like you're doing something, you're contributing to your reputations, you're earning something, etc. Or just having a good time. One of them things. But Dragonflight, by far, has had one of the strongest starting experience, or strongest starting releases since... honestly, I can't remember. Legion, probably. Probably Legion. Yeah, because Legion, you get your class hall artifact quite early. So it's a strong start. A very, very strong start. The only thing that we can hope for is they keep it going. If they have a cycle, a patch cycle, like Legion did every... what was it? 60-odd days? 70-odd days? 70... 60 to 80, I can't remember. It might have been 60 to 100. Honestly, I can't remember. But it was so quick. They were firing out the like content constantly. This is what made Legion so good, because there was constant stuff happening. It was so refreshing to see new stuff happen constantly. There was never a day where something was not on the PTR, I swear, for Legion. And it was just great. Absolute amazing. So hopefully Dragonflight can live up to it, live up to the start that it's had anyway. But that is it for this week. Thank you all very much for listening. Be sure to check out the Patreon down below for ad-free content, as well as at Twitch and YouTube, constant stuff happening over there, especially Wednesdays and Sundays are guaranteed streams at 7 GMT. So that's 8 CEST. I'm not sure about the American... time zones, I'm afraid, sorry. But, yep, thank you all very much for listening once again, and go with Valor, friend. Goodbye, all.